This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good morning to you. Just looking outside in downtown St. Louis right now, and it is raining once again. So we're going to get this on and off throughout the day. Looks like we got one more day to put up with this, and then maybe a little bit of relief. Are the Cardinals playing today? Do we know, Kim? Have you had that in
They're going to be on the road facing the Nationals tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah, Tom said that they got to do something more on the road. But right now, you're St. Louis Cardinals. Own the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball. At least they're tied right now with the Kansas City Royals because they've won five straight games. So, hey, this season we're going to take what we can get. Maybe it's a trend. If we can continue that on the road, then you're feeling better about them, right?
I don't say too much because I always feel like once you say it.
Well, Tom said it first, so I'll just blame him. How about that?
You're just reiterating it.
I'm just reiterating what Tom said earlier. Yeah, we're glad you're with us. We're going to get to Shannon Bream here, host of Fox News Sunday, coming up in the next segment. A little less than an hour from now at 9 o'clock is when the big announcement is expected. The one that President Trump said is huge, probably bigger than everything ever, bigger than anything you've ever seen in your entire life, I think is generally the way he states these things. So we're going to get that to you. I think he was on Truth Social already this morning, putting out some truths about what the deal that he's about to announce, and he's calling it what did he say? There it is. So apparently it's leaked out that it's an agreement with the United Kingdom, full and comprehensive, that will cement our relationship. And our bond together with this first announcement, many other deals to follow, is what he said this morning on Truth Social. So we'll talk to Shannon Bream about that coming up. But the official announcement is at about 9 a.m. Central Time, and maybe it'll shut up some of the naysayers, because how long ago was Liberation Day, Kim? Remember? Was it just a little over a month ago, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was in early April.
I think so. I feel like there's just been so much that's happened. I'm like, when did he announce that?
Right.
When did those go into effect?
And now the stock market, I'm not saying it's back 100%, but it's back very close to what it was before. And once these first deals start to drop, you're going to see more and more confidence. And yet you've got people like Jerome Powell refusing to cooperate by dropping interest rates one iota. The only people he's hurting are people who want to buy homes and cars and new items. I mean, he's hurting that effort right now. And he wants to claim it's not political, but I'm afraid it's hard to look at it any other way. All right, right now, Ethan, let's get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
So he doesn't have a solution, which is why he's out of office. But here's the thing that I think is so hilarious, is that Joe Biden and Buttigieg and all the rest, they now act like they have no idea how the country got into this state.
Yeah, Josh Hawley last night when they asked him about some of the part of the Joe Biden interview where, you know, he didn't think that if he had pulled out any sooner, it would have made any difference.
What Dr. Fauci, and I would even call him a doctor, he was experimenting on Americans. He was experimenting on our military.
Yeah, Representative Luna there last night, Anna Paulina Luna, talking about Anthony Fauci. You know, these new details have come out about what he knew and when he knew it, and it appears that he did fund gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China, despite his many, many denials and a presidential full pardon.
This governor has bragged about Illinois being a firewall against President Trump's immigration enforcement agenda.
Kristi Noem, I'm going to nominate her for governor of whatever part of Canada we take over here at some point. She sounds like she could be Canadian, eh?
Mr. President, Senator Phyllis has come out against Ed Martin as U.S. attorney. Do you have any response to that?
Well, it's disappointing if anybody voted against him. I feel very badly about it.
What a shame. What an absolute shame. That was the first response I've heard from the president there to this Tom Tillis, this North Carolina senator who admits Ed Martin is a fine attorney, U.S. attorney, because he says he would support him in any other jurisdiction in the United States, but he won't support him in Washington, D.C., because they disagree over January 6th. They disagree over the persecution of thousands of people, citizens of the United States, who showed up to a protest on January 6th, and a few of them wandered into the halls of the building after other people broke in the doors. And Tillis is mad because those people weren't charged with something more serious and they haven't been held accountable for what they did. And Ed Martin disagrees with him on that. And on that issue, he won't support him to be the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, which is the district that illegally prosecuted and persecuted, I would argue, all of those folks. Now, they've all been given pardons. So instead of that, letting that be water under the bridge, what is Tom Tillis afraid that Ed Martin might dig up? What's he afraid he's going to find as acting U.S. attorney or the U.S. attorney if he was to be approved in the District of Columbia? And why does he think that the next person that Donald Trump appoints won't look for the exact same mishandling of justice? I don't get it. I think it is sad. I've known Ed for a long time, and I think he's going to do a great job. Hopefully, if he doesn't end up there, the president can appoint him to something else. But here's the problem. Remember this Judge Boasberg, the one who is clearly anti-Trump and has made a number of rulings against Donald Trump, trying to stick his nose where he has no business in foreign affairs and immigration issues. He'll get to make the decision. If they don't appoint somebody by May 20th, so 12 days from now, this Judge Boasberg will get to pick the next acting U.S. attorney for D.C. I don't know how that works. I don't know why the president wouldn't just be able to appoint another one, and then you start the clock over again at 120 days to give them a chance to be approved by Congress. Apparently, that's not how it works. Maybe Pam Bondi can do something about it. We'll see. But
sounds
I think
like a
it's
question
a shame.
For Shannon Bream.
Well, I think maybe we could ask her that, since she does live there in the D.C. area and hosts a Fox News Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll get Shannon on the air here in just a minute, and then our friend Griff Jenkins, who is going to be on Outnumbered on Fox as well just a little bit later this morning.
That guy's everywhere, by the way.
All the time. All the time. I've already texted with him this morning and told him what a good job he did. And he goes, hey, I'll be on Outnumbered too. I'm like,
wow.
Wow. All right. All that's coming up. We'll be back.
Trying to say that the U.S. initiative. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
He did the trade talks this weekend and that its position hasn't changed. Are you still confident you can reach a deal with China?
They said we initiated. Well, I think they ought to go back and study their files. Okay, I do think that.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Vox News Sunday. Shannon Bream, we are just, 40 minutes or so away from a huge announcement from President Trump, it sounds like.
It does. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation. Who would be the first trade deal to close during this pause, that 90-day pause on most of the major tariffs? It sounds like it's the UK. And we have some things trickling out that we think that are part of the deal that will help give, you know, American industries, cars, farming, big tech, better access to the UK markets.
Well, because surprisingly to me, I didn't find this out till I think this argument really got started about tariffs, about how heavily tariffed we are for our products, even in the EU. And I know England is not part of that. The Britain is not part of that anymore. But still, I mean, just in general, our friends and our enemies are tariffing us to death.
Yeah, I think we all were a bit surprised. I mean, it's something that President Trump has been talking about for decades,
right,
long before he was in politics. So he's always had an eye on this. But I think the rest of us, we just go about our daily lives. It's not until you see charts and explanations and understanding of exactly who's tariffing what that you realize, like, okay, yeah, even some of our closest friends and allies, like you said, have much higher tariffs than the average American, I think, would have suspected at all.
Trump has talked about wanting to reopen Alcatraz, and I'm just curious what kinds of legal challenges that could face. I mean, I assume he's being serious about it, but you never really know if he's being tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, we don't, but I wouldn't be surprised if he means it. I think one of the biggest issues is going to be funding for it, which could tie up with a legal battle as well. But to retrofit and get something like that open again for actual, you know, human residents, I think people think there's going to be a pretty big price tag on that. So are you going to fight for the money and the price tag while you also have some people maybe, you know, legally fighting with you about it too? But listen, if it's something that comes up to federal prison standards, is habitable, meets all of those codes, I can see him doing it. I think, like with many things, it's a psychological, you know, something to look at, a memento, a marker to say, people have a very strong association with it, that it's for the worst of the worst, it's nearly inescapable, all of those things. So I think for President Trump, those kinds of things really stand out as kind of an apple of his eye to say, okay, we're going to put this back out there in the American landscape because people have a very strong association with what it is.
And I'm sure it wouldn't be like a poke in the eye to Nancy Pelosi or anybody that it's just a
I'm sure she's
district.
Not going to be first in line to help with the funding on that one.
Yeah, I mean, far be it from him to think about something like that. Shannon Bream, our guest from Fox News Sunday. Have you had have you had Jerome Powell on your program before? Have you had a chance to talk to him?
I have not on camera. And so, listen, he would be a great guest right about now. He's so cautious with what he says and how he couches things. Obviously, has to be as Fed chair. But, man, the White House is not happy with him today. And to be a fly on the wall with those two, I don't think that there will be a conversation between the two of them anytime soon. But just weeks ago, the president was saying, like, oh, no, I'm not going to fire him. He's got his job to do, his thing to do, but not happy about the decision not to move rates yesterday.
No, he was surprisingly critical of the tariffs, so he's willing to make public comments about that, but then declined to adjust interest rates. I mean, but he did that three times before the election.
Right. I don't think that there will be a signal conversation between the president and the Fed chair anytime soon.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, I saw this blow up between Senator Tom Tillis and the president regarding Ed Martin, who's been the acting U.S. attorney there for the District of Columbia. What are the options here? It isn't May 20th the deadline, and if he doesn't get approved by then, it's somebody on the local court making that decision?
Well, there have been rumors, and don't hold me to this because I would need to go double check this, but that it would be Judge Boasberg who would be the one who would be appointing someone, at least in some kind of interim capacity. I got to double check that. But obviously, Judge Boasberg is somebody that the president and his administration have many, many legal disputes ongoing with right now over many things. So not an ideal scenario for the White House. But you got to keep those GOP Senate votes together if you're going to get him across the finish line. And there are controversies and critics all through his past. You know, the president said, listen, crime is down in D.C. I live here. So obviously that's a plus in my book. How much you can attribute that to Ed Martin, you know, you could argue that. But the real issue for him is going to be getting those senators in line. And, you know, they can only lose a couple of votes. And it seems like one is pretty much out the door.
Yeah, it seems like it. I know they said it was 120 days, right? That would make sense to do that. Wouldn't it be just as simple as appointing another temporary U.S. attorney? Wouldn't that start the clock rolling again?
I think it would in this case. I think that the president doesn't want to back down off of a name that he so strongly supported. So we'll see. Who knows? Maybe Mike Waltz will be the new attorney in D.C. you just don't know with all these puzzle pieces here. But I think at this point, the president feels strongly about trying to hold together that Ed Martin confirmation or nomination. And he's got a few days to figure that out, I think.
Mike Waltz would need Senate confirmation, right?
Right, and he's going to need it for his U.N. ambassador post, which, you know, it's raised so many questions for us in D.C. because we're thinking he's going to get blasted on the Signalgate issue, which has kind of died down. Democratic senators are excited. They love the idea that they'll get to rehash that very publicly.
Oh, I'm sure.
So we'll see.
Yeah, very true. What are you working on for this weekend, Shannon?
Well, goodness, you've got Secretary Bessent and Jameson Greer, the trade representative over in Switzerland. They say it's for talks with the Swiss about a trade deal, but, oh, China is going to have its top representatives there, so they're going to have chats as well. Obviously, that is the white whale for everybody in these trade deals. And foreign policy as well. I mean, there's some really big stuff bubbling with Israel. We're trying to see if we can get the prime minister on with us. So domestic and foreign, it's a very busy week, too, as the House is still trying to get its big, beautiful deal done.
It's true. We'll be watching. Shannon Bream, thank you.
See you Sunday.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate that. You could have a new pope. You could have an Iranian nuclear deal. You could have the first trade deal. All of that done by this weekend. So there'll be no shortage of stuff for Shannon to discuss.
Quiet week.
Sunday morning. No kidding. Coming up, we'll get to Griff Jenkins. Stay tuned.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back.
The one thing we know they're not doing is checking Instagram because their devices have all been confiscated.
I believe the kids call it raw dogging it if you're going to go through a long period of time with no electronic device.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Well, they're of a certain age, so they might be used to it.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins. Griff Jenkins, I will pay for your next surfing outing if you will bring up that term on Outnumbered today.
Listen, I am still laughing, Mark, because those of us old enough to know who Cotter is,
yes,
is old enough to remember that the term raw dogging doesn't mean the same thing the youngsters are calling it now.
It has to be a Gen Z thing because I'm a millennial and I've never heard it being used to describe like a social media break.
Blackout or something.
Anything like that. It has a much different meaning to me.
I was literally dumbfounded when I heard that as the guy that's been getting up at the crazy hours to do Fox and Friends first from 4 to 6 a.m. Eastern to do the Pope thing. And, you know, when I saw that clip yesterday, it took me that not only is it like jaw-dropping, it's like you're the expert for CBS that's supposed to give us perspective, particularly as the devout Catholic viewers are watching, for the pomp and circumstance. You know, even for a non-Catholic, and I am Catholic in full disclosure, as a non-Catholic, you're watching it. It's kind of like watching the royals, even if you don't follow, you're not a royalist, you don't follow the royal family, but then you watch the pomp and circumstance, and they do it really well. And you're looking at all the ornate, you know, process. And in the case of the conclave, in the mass they had before, which is what they were commenting on, all of the different dressings and in the colors of the members in the church, it all has a meaning dating back literally 1,000 years or more. And yet this guy decides to go straight to raw dogging in Instagram. I thought, what the hell?
I wonder if he got in trouble for saying that, if his producer was like, do you realize what you just said?
Nora O'Donnell knew what he said immediately. Like, that was pretty funny. But I mean, I don't know how old Tony DeCoppola is. I'm guessing he's maybe your age, Kim.
No, but people my age would not be saying
well,
that.
Well, maybe not.
I'm looking up his age.
I don't know. But regardless, we laughed about it all morning, Griff, I just have to tell you.
So was the entire country.
44.
Inappropriateness. Look. I can confirm that they are not the cardinals are not raw dogging in the papal conclave.
And most of them are, well, they have to be under 80, but most of them are in their 70s, and I'm sure they're probably not missing their cell phones.
My mom
can't operate hers. So
undermines really the point of the whole thing, which is this is the greatest, you know, the gravity of the decision these cardinals are make. It's the greatest decision most will make in their entire lives. Many of them, as you point out, in their 70s and 80s.
Yes.
Because they are choosing who will be the, you know, next person to lead the Catholic Church, to be the torchbearer of St. Peter, to keep the resurrection of Jesus Christ alive. Like, I can't think of anything more serious.
Yeah, I know. It was an unusual comment. Hey, what time is Outnumbered? Is it on at 11?
11 St. Louis time, noon on the East Coast.
Okay.
They got me filling in, and we're going to obviously be watching to see if we get, it looks like around 11:30 East Coast time, we might begin the next window that we could see smoke. Now, what's happened, for people that are just sort of catching up to it, there were obviously two votes this morning, and we saw the black smoke just as we were going off the air about 5:55 a.m. That tells us that no one had been chosen. And they are breaking for lunch, some reflection time, prayers, and back in the conclave now. And we expect in the next coming hours they'll vote again. They'll take up to two votes, we're told. And by afternoon, we'll see smoke, either black or white, if they can't come to an agreement. And, you know, it's anybody's guess. I mean, the one thing that is constant in all of this, despite what you hear any of the commentators saying, is that the only known we have, as Donald Rumsfeld used to say, knowns and unknown knowns, is we know that we don't know what's happening inside there. We just have no idea. It's the greatest kept secret in most secretive democratic process in modern history. But yet we do know that it's very difficult, perhaps, for them to come, we can surmise, because with 133 cardinals, it's the largest papal conclave they've ever had and is unprecedented in the number of the diversity of it, because of the number of cardinals that Pope Francis added from places like South America and Africa. And so that may make it harder to come to a consensus. At the end of the day, the magic number is 89 have to agree out of 133.
Well, by noon, your time, by 11 o'clock, our time, we'll also know the biggest announcement in the history of mankind. I think is how the president might have oversold it a little bit. And that's this trade deal that's supposed to be announced in about 15 minutes, right?
So I tried to explain this in my reporter hits later in Fox and Friends. I did that one hit around 6:20 in the morning. Is that, remember that tease of the greatest announcement ever in history, that the president teased on Tuesday, he said was not trade related.
Oh.
So we're still expecting the great big giant announcement before he departs for Saudi Arabia on a long trip.
Okay.
But yet he did, after I did the hit, and I'd said that the president hasn't confirmed that there's a UK trade deal, he then, moments after I went off the air, posted to True Social, yes, huge deal with the UK. So we've got a huge announcement coming up here in the next 45 minutes or so about the UK, but that's apparently not the really big announcement we expect.
Maybe it's the Iran thing.
I was going to say, what do we think it is?
I'm trying to parse it out. Who knows? Anybody's guess. But he did indicate at one point that the big announcement that he teased on Tuesday was not trade related. So I guess we're in for two things. But, you know, I will say this, you know, not to downplay the significance of the UK deal, and we don't know what the, you know, sort of terms in the scope of that agreement is, but there's no doubt that the markets, and I haven't looked yet to see where the markets are, there's no doubt that the markets will love it because we know the president's been talking to some dozen or so countries, and we expect among them, perhaps after the UK, we could see deals with Japan, South Korea, potentially India. Then you've got Treasury Secretary Bessent and USTR Greer headed over to meet with China and Switzerland. So we may see the market happy about at least the trade deal announcement.
Well, Griff, I hope you get a well-deserved nap this afternoon, my friend, after outnumbered.
Listen, we got outnumbered. Then I got to do a little backup anchoring for Martha this afternoon. There's no sleeping around here, but it is an exciting time to have the job I do because it's such a front row seat to such history really unfolding on nearly an hourly basis.
It's an absolute truth. Griff Jenkins, thank you. You're great. We appreciate you.
Hey. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. I don't know how he does it. You know, remember, Kim, being on TV, and sometimes when you're tired, you just look tired. And I don't know what kind of makeup artists or whatever they have on network television. But so Griff had to get up probably at midnight Eastern time to be into the Fox News studios there to do makeup and scripts and all that. I mean, that's about what time Pyro tells us. He gets up.
Midnight?
Like 11. Well, he has to travel. So at least Griff would have already been in a hotel somewhere in downtown New York. Maybe he didn't have to get up quite that early. So they go on the air at
4, their time.
4 a.m. our time, right?
No, I think it's 4 a.m. his time, 3 a.m. our time.
So they're on 2 hours. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's 4 to 6 their time.
Okay. So anyway, he's on really early. So he anchored that show this morning. My brain is hurting now. He just does this hit with us. He did Fox and Friends after that. Now he's going to do Outnumbered for an hour, and then he's going to fill in anchor for Martha McCallum. He's pulling a 14-hour day to day potentially.
I've done that. I've pulled 14, 16-hour days. I've slept, you know, 4 hours and done it again. Now, I was doing that in my early 20s. That's not how old Griff is, not to age him. But, I mean, that is hard. You can do it only for so long on such little sleep. And then by the end of it, that's crazy stretch. You're like, oh, my gosh.
Quick break here. Our friend Laura Hediger, of course, of KMOV, of Great Days St. Louis and all that, is going to join us. Tell us about a great event that she's involved in. There's still time for you to help them out. We're going to talk to her right after the break.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
All right, I told you we're headed for some great weather this coming weekend, and we had love to welcome in our friend Laura Hediger, of course, from Channel 4 and Great Day, and a friend of mine, I'm proud to say. And Laura, welcome into the show. How are you?
I am well, and I'm so glad that you consider me a friend because I definitely feel that way about you, too. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great over here, and it's always great to see you out at events. And it's been a little while, I have to be honest, but I'm glad we got you on. You got a big event that you've been part of for a long time for the Little Bit Foundation, right?
I do. The 8th annual Laura's Run for Kids benefiting the Little Bit Foundation is this Saturday. So now we're 48 hours away. And as you mentioned in the intro, we are so excited about the weather. I don't know how many 10s and 20s I had to slip Kent Earhart and Matt Chambers to make this happen. But yes, we are so looking forward to it. In the previous 7 events combined, we have raised nearly $500,000. All of that money going back to serving students in the St. Louis metro area.
Hey, Laura, it's Kim. I actually don't know what the Little Bit Foundation is. What do they do here in the St. Louis area?
So, Kim, first off, so good to hear your voice, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Are in order. How yeah. are you feeling?
Over the hump of the crazy nausea. I know you have two little ones now, and I don't know how you did it, and you still do all the things on Channel 4.
You just keep pushing forward. But yes, I do have two. My daughter just turned one 2 days ago.
Wow.
But I'm glad you asked about the Little Bit Foundation, because inside, we call it the best kept secret in St. Louis. And I appreciate you guys giving me this platform. So it's not a secret anymore. But essentially, this organization started as a coat drive more than 20 years ago, where a group of moms recognized a group of kids who needed some coats during the winter. And over the years, this coat drive has just exploded into really providing anything a child needs. So when he or she is at school, that little guy or little gal can just focus on what the teacher is teaching. And it looks different for all types of students. You guys have kids, you know how quickly their feet grow. Imagine
yep.
sitting in school or going to PE in shoes that are too small. You're uncomfortable. You can't run. You can't do anything. So this beautiful partnership with Fila has stepped in to help provide not just shoes, but like the coolest looking shoes ever for these kids. They're so bright. They're so colorful. And kids are fit for shoes that fit them a couple times a year. Food insecurity is something my family is very passionate about stopping in our area. And for some of the kids and families here in St. Louis, the last full meal a kid might have could be lunchtime on Friday until Monday when they go back to school for breakfast. So the Little Bit Foundation has partnered with these different mobile food markets where kids can take home bags of groceries, not just for them, but for their entire family to have over the weekend where it's nourishing for their little bodies. And it's just a privilege that we have, especially on Give STL Day, so many nonprofits dedicated to helping people in our community.
Yeah, that's a great point. Laura Hedeker is our guest. So you got the Run for Kids. It's coming up on the 10th. How can people get involved right now, Laura, if they still want to help out?
You absolutely can by heading to firstalert4.com/run. That will then redirect you to the Little Bit organization's websites. And it has all the details. The run is in Tower Grove Park. It is a 5K or a 1 mile family fun run. It gets started officially with the run at 8:30, but we'd love to have people out there early as 7:30. And I understand a lot of people don't like to run. If you want to simply come out and cheer on some kids who are out there maybe doing a race for the very first time in their lives, we would love to have you just gather at the Sons of Rest Pavilion there in Tower Grove Park and then go over to the Tower Grove Farmers Market and get some goodies heading into the weekend.
Sounds like a great idea. Laura, always great to talk to you. Congratulations on a great effort there.
I appreciate you both very much. And Kim, have a very happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Laura Hedeker there getting ready to run off and do Great Day St. Louis within a few minutes here at the top of the hour. Good to talk to her for sure. All right. The Kilmeade's up next. They'll have the latest on this trade deal announcement coming up at the top of the hour. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.